Chapter 4. Practical Exercises for Eliminating Negative Emotions and Promoting Inner Peace. Having touched on the importance of the distinction between things that are within our control versus those outside of it, versus those that lie somewhere in between, it is necessary to acknowledge that most of the times, our reactions to what happens to us are visceral, coded into our very genetic makeup. The same way as touching a hot stove elicits an involuntary jerk back of the hand, a cry of pain, and a welling up of tears, the reaction to any loss is an almost physical pain. Neuroscientists have, in fact, ascertained that the same regions of our brain light up in response to both physically and emotionally painful stimuli. It makes a lot of biological sense exactly why we should have this sort of reaction encoded in us. Human beings are no different than the rest of our animal cousins. We are the product of a long process of evolution by natural selection, the same as any other. According to this extremely powerful and many times vindicated scientific theory, creatures that are better adapted and able to survive go on to reproduce and propagate their genes. Since creatures that are motivated to acquire and hold on to resources are more likely to survive, it is no wonder that a negative, punitive reaction should arise to be associated with loss. Similarly, with the loss of loved ones. In tribal times, in and during the eons when the pack was the unit of cohesion, they were very likely to be related to the individual and so hold similar genes. We fortunately have a capacity that sets us apart from other animals and frees us from the mere vagaries of our mammalian heritage, and that is the faculty of reason. Through reason, we are able to quell fear and the primal instincts that drive it. Stoicism drives us to develop and use that capacity for reason, as well as continually sharpen and exercise it. Following are two techniques that Stoics have used from the very beginning. Both Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius teach variations of them, to remove the fear of negative things happening, lessen the instinctive reflective bite of negative emotion that accompanies them when they do occur, and increasing the reserve of inner peace and satisfaction at the life, possessions, and circumstances we already have. Negative visualization. The first exercise that will be discussed is that of negative visualization. Just as they advise the creation and chasing down of goals as a primary objective in life, most success coaches preach the practice of visualization of oneself having attained those goals in order to create a drive to attain them. The harm this does to the mind through externalizing happiness onto things outside one's control and creating a possibility for disappointment when things do not go according to plan can be derived from what has already been discussed. But to add on top of this, that many of them have another rationale based on the pseudoscientific, unproven belief in the law of attraction. That holding the images of the things they want in their minds attracts or causes the universe to bring them to the believer. It is not the habit of a rational being to lay one's faith in such nebulous concepts. The Stoics, as far back as Chrysippus, employed a method completely the opposite of this approach. Rather than holding images of things that we desire in our minds, we should take time to imagine that we have lost something that we already possess. Imagine losing everything and being destitute, that those we love and who love us in turn have left us or have died, or that we have lost the use of a limb or one of our senses. Without a doubt, many of us find ourselves thinking about such things in dark and lonesome moments, and those thoughts fill us with anxiety and dread. Through repetition of accessing these thoughts, in a controlled and objective manner, we become inured to the negative emotions that rise from them. As well as removing anxiety, negative visualization also steals us should we experience in reality the loss we have spent time visualizing. Since everything outside of us is outside our direct sphere of control, we should never spend our time worrying about it, and always be ready for the eventuality that we will at some point lose it. Negative visualization helps us to build that readiness. Another more positive practical effect is that when we consider how our lives would be without those things we already have, we appreciate them all the more. Negative visualization, therefore, builds our mental state from two angles, removing fear and other negative emotions from one side, and increasing our appreciation and contentment from the other. Yet another belief to be gained from negative visualization is a greater sense of perspective, engendered by the detachment necessary for its practice. Thanks to this, we are able to dispassionately weigh what we possess and much more objectively discern what is most important to us. Invariably, we find that many of the fripperies we trouble ourselves with, particularly the luxuries we have, are mere gilding on the flower that is our lives, and that the more basic, simpler pleasures, such as the company of our friends and loved ones, and the boundless freedom given by our minds, are by far the most precious. Negative visualization is something to be done occasionally. The objective is not to dwell continuously on potential misfortunes, or to live one's life in a pall of doom and gloom. Once the period, a short amount of time no more than a few minutes at a time, has passed, we can continue with our lives as they are, reaping the benefits it has imparted to us. Voluntary discomfort. The second method of removing our fear and increasing our appreciation of our circumstances is that of engaging in voluntary discomfort. Where negative visualization builds our mental resilience by imagining less than ideal situations, voluntary discomfort is the practice of exactly what it sounds like, exposing oneself to uncomfortable, less than ideal situations in order to become accustomed and inured to them. There are a lot of luxuries, especially in today's modern world, that we take for granted. Our homes are heated in the winter and air-conditioned in the summer, allowing us to enjoy a near-constant external environment. We possess amazing technology that allows us to communicate with nearly anyone anywhere on the planet and gives us access to more entertainment at the click of a finger than we could possibly consume in 1,000 lifetimes. Our clothing, our shelters, our modes of transportation, all are optimized to give us the maximum of comfort and ease. They've become a part of the tableau of our lives, things we have grown to accommodate and no longer recognize as the amazing innovations that they are. There are also far simpler conveniences that we take for granted. In the developed world today, even the poorest of us have access to 3 meals a day, something that would have been reserved for kings in the past. No matter your financial situation, as long as you are reading this book, you are more fortunate than the vast majority of human beings that have ever lived and even that are alive today, and you too could stand to gain a better appreciation of that through practicing voluntary discomfort. In order to do so, pick anything that makes your life easier or more enjoyable in some way, and choose to go without it for a little while. Through doing so, you will gain a greater appreciation of it, and also gain a measure of resilience should it at any time and for any reason become unavailable to you. Taking the examples given above, making a habit of leaving the air conditioning off on occasion on a hot summer day, not for a long time and not very often, just enough to get a feel of what it's like were you not to have it at all. Not only will you gain a much greater appreciation of the benefit of cool temperatures throughout, but should there perhaps be a power outage, as can sometimes happen during particularly strong heat waves when the load on the power grid rises beyond its capacity due to everyone having their air conditioning on, you will find you do not even have to exert much mental effort in balancing your emotions. You've experienced unadjusted heat several times before and have grown used to it. The same goes for unplugging your electronic devices for a while and enduring the silence and loneliness they are designed to banish, or for taking the bus or walking somewhere instead of driving. Even back in the days of the ancient Stoics, long before the technological revolutions that brought us these conveniences, they would shed the few comforts that they had to build their resilience, comforts that even we could stand to learn to live without. Running barefoot, going out in the cold without warm clothing, and fasting for a period of a day or so are age-old methods of voluntary discomfort we can practice ourselves, the better to appreciate our shoes, our clothes, and the meals we eat every day. Voluntary discomfort sounds awfully close to masochism to some people, but rest assured, it could not be farther from it. Like negative visualization, the point is to do it for short stretches at a time, not to continually deny oneself or to revel in the act of deprivation. Some may also bring up the objection that voluntary discomfort is too difficult or unpleasant, that some people have a naturally higher threshold for discomfort, which the average person does not possess. But in the same way as it is possible to become used to pleasurable inputs, we can grow our resilience to pain. If voluntary discomfort seems disagreeable to you, start small. Engage in only mildly unpleasant deprivation for a short amount of time. As time goes on, you will find yourself able to withstand greater discomfort for longer lengths of time. The benefits of voluntary discomfort go beyond just the mental. The self-discipline and resilience it builds are applicable in almost every sphere of one's life. Enduring one form of discomfort very easily transfers itself over to others, and Stoics who practice it find their willpower in general to be greatly increased. You will be better equipped to endure and push through whatever comes your way, to put in that extra hour of work or few minutes of exercise, to refrain from eating the delicious but unhealthy foods you need to avoid in order to maintain your health, and will be much better equipped to attain your external goals.